US President Donald Trump has announced a halt to all future funding for South Africa, pending a full investigation into its land expropriation policies. The qualifier is the fact that pending a full investigation. This follows President Cyril Ramaphosa's recent signing of the Expropriation Act, which allows for land seizures without compensation under certain conditions. Trump has condemned the law, calling it a serious human rights violation. Online, Honorary Professor of International Relations at WITS, Professor John Stremlow. Professor Stremlow, welcome to Newsbeat.
Thank you very much.
Now, what I find interesting here is that there seems to be a lot of qualifications and conditions on some of Trump's utterances. Pending a full investigation into its land expropriation policies. My question, with Trump making so many statements everywhere and all over the place, who is going to investigate our expropriation bill?
I don't know the answer to that question, but it is important for South Africans to realize that Trump speaks in total ignorance. And so I thought Cyril Ramaphosa's response was a very measured one and a very careful one, and it was appropriate for the circumstances. He is not, that is to say, Ramaphosa, new to the Trump idiosyncrasies or outrages, as the case may be. But in the first administration of Trump, Trump was approached by Afroforum on farm killings and white farmers allegedly killed, and he spoke out in total ignorance of the history and the circumstances surrounding the events. And Cyril Ramaphosa similarly told him, in effect, to butt out and mind his own business. We are in a world of sovereign states, and this is going to pose an enormous challenge for South Africans. But as the statement by Cyril Ramaphosa rightly pointed out, only 17% of PEPFAR is U.S. Donated, and that's important. But it causes real ructions here. But this is for the Americans to sort out for themselves.
It is interesting to note, of course, that there's been a raft of pronouncements from the White House since Trump has taken his position behind the desk in the Oval Office. So far, the world has been quite measured in its response. But over the weekend, we saw Trudeau of Canada and another country saying, hang on a minute, if you're going to put these trade tariffs on us, we are going to put trade tariffs right back on you. This is going to be disastrous for the economies that are exporting and importing from the U.S., but equally so for the U.S., because surely produce and products in the United States are going to go up in price considerably if Trump follows through with this policy.
That's exactly what economists more knowledgeable than I am are saying all the time in the respectable outlets of news, incredible news, people like Nobel laureate Paul Krugman is saying, wait a minute, this is crazy because it's going to lead to inflation and impact on workers, the very essence of his base, and that is the case, and this is going to have to play out, and there's going to have to be reactions. And Democrats are scrambling right now, and we'll see what happens. But it is most unfortunate. This was foreseen by those of us who took the time to recall what Trump did during his first term, and so now the chickens have come home to roost.
No, they certainly have. In my mind's eye, I've got this image. California, which has been already hard hit by the LA fires, that when a time comes for the fruit to ripen on the trees, farmers are going to have to allow their fruit to rot on the trees because there are going to be no Mexicans left to go and pick the fruit for them.
That's exactly right. And the Trump approach to things is to viscerally pander to his racism and his sexism and his other idiosyncrasies that are well documented by his niece, the clinical psychologist, Mary Trump, in her book, Never Enough is one of the titles, I think, the main title. But in any case, it is worth a read, and this is entirely predictable. I know that your listeners are going to want to know about the PayPal mafia of Peter Thiel and Elon Musk and others close to David Stokes, David Sachs.
Right.
Thank you. But anyway, the PayPal mafia. But they're also playing into Trump's receptivity. If that's the case, I don't know whether it's the case, but I just find that Trump is Trump, and this was all predictable, and Americans are going to have to live with the consequences.
Yeah, it's sad in a sense that a huge country with a huge economy and a huge amount of latent potential to do good in the world is kind of allowing itself to go down this slide into a pit. And we don't know yet where it's actually all going to end. I often wonder, how is Trump going to respond when the forces or the wind starts blowing in his face, which is surely going to happen in the next 18 months or so?
Well, indeed it will, and I think you're right to point out the fact that this may be the last hurrah of the racists. America has, like South Africa, had a troubled history, but it's been a black minority, unlike the South African situation where it's a black majority. It took them a longer time to get to a democracy, and it's fraught with problems that are well known to us, but the American system has sort of on the tip of going to a minority majority country and a composite nation, which was written about by ex-slaves back in the 19th century and is now coming to pass, and there is going to be reaction, but these reactions are not unique to American history, and South Africa has seen the reactionary MK movement here, and that gave the door opening for Cyril's experiment with GNU, but I wish the GNU could happen in the U.S. But it's not with Trump in the White House, but he won't be there forever, and he's a lame duck already because he can't run for a third term, and that would take a constitutional amendment, which no one in his right mind thinks it's possible.
I'm just wondering, Trump may think it's possible, but that could be another interview, surely.
Yes, thank you very much.
The other question which comes to my mind is that people need to look at by how many votes Trump got in and who exactly voted in the United States elections. And my thumbsuck, I can only call it that, is that you've got 45 to 50% of the United States population who don't support and who don't like Trump. So that's also an interesting dimension, which I think has not often been pointed to.
No, it's worse than that. It's the peculiarities of the Electoral College and the winner-take-all in small rural states, in southern states, have given Trump the possibility to leverage what is a third of the Republican party, which is itself only 28% of, the Democrats only claim 28%, so 43% are the floaters that are the undecided independent voters that swing back and forth, the South African GNU is a reflection of once the ANC moved into minority status, it opened up the possibility for a rethink of how you move forward in development terms, because while our countries are diverse and inclusive, they are also grossly inequitable, and South Africa far worse than America. But nonetheless, you are on to something right now that shows me, and I think you, on the back of an envelope, that that Trump does not reflect the majority of the American people.
Yeah, so I think I'm sure you'll agree that's going to be a space which one is going to watch quite closely. Do you see a resurgence of the same energies we saw during the height of the civil rights movement in the U.S. during the 1960s?
Well, I don't know. A close advisor to Bill Clinton said that Clinton took stock of how to reach the common man in the American body politic in 1992, and so therefore he managed to pull out a win, and the Democrats are going to have to go back to the drawing board and come up with a Bill Clinton kind of fellow or a Barack Obama kind of fellow and win, and that's the challenge that the Democratic Party faces, because they are only 28% of the loyalists, and that's the same loyalists to the Republican Party. But the Republican Party is dominated by Trump at the moment, but it's got a lot of fictions and fractions within it, as we all know. So stay tuned.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a moot point you make, that the Democrats right now need a real personality, somebody who's got some hint of charisma. Unfortunately, Kamala Harris came into the race too late, and she just is not a charismatic politician, with all respects to her. So it seems like the Democrats need a strong figure. I mean, obviously, personality politics is not the way to go, but when you have such a strong personality as Trump, you've got somebody who can actually take away his shadow.
Yes, that's a conversation for other day, because
yes,
no one is on the horizon as yet, and I do have to move on, but you're absolutely right.
And our final point through all this, do you think that President Ramaphosa, Justice Trudeau, that are leaders around the world, will be able to make the U.S. see sense? Because obviously they will be dealing with State Department officials who may not be Trumpists.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think that the answer to your question is yes.
And on that note, we have to end it there. Professor okay. John Stremler, Honorary Professor of International Relations at WITS, as always, thank you for joining us on Newsbeat.
Okay, thank you.